Here I'd invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, to our memory verses for the month of October. Hard to believe October is pretty near spent here, but it is. Before we spend a few minutes in the Word of God together, here, why don't we just bow our hearts together in prayer. Father, we're just very grateful tonight, just for the privilege we have to gather together here as believers of like precious faith, Father, just to have a time of prayer together, Father, to just bring many things before your throne of grace here this evening together, for even just again for the Lachlan family, Father, even just to undertake there for much wisdom, just strength and encouragement, and as that trial continues to unfold, then they would just see your grace is sufficient, your sovereign hand directing in all of these details, Father. And again, just thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are God who just desires. Again, we cast our every care upon you. Thank you for the privilege, again, just even to sing with one another, as it's just uplifting to be reminded as we sing, Father, of just many precious promises and principles from your word. Thank you for even just the good report, Father, from the opportunities you've provided for many lost to hear the good news of Jesus Christ through these fairs. We thank you even just for the freedoms we have to do that, to just publicly give out the good news of Jesus Christ, Father, without fear of government interference or persecution or what have you, and just for the many soft hearts that you directed to hear the gospel, Father, and even those that put their faith in Christ as their Savior. Thank you that you indeed are, again, willing that none should perish. Pray that, again, our time studying your word together tonight would just be profitable, Father, would be honoring to you and edifying to us as a local church tonight, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So hopefully your Bibles are open to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at our memory verses for the month of October, which was verses 15 and 16. And it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." The days are evil. But just generally and contextually here, I don't have a PowerPoint for you this evening, but we got a handout there. But number one on the handout is, the text here is essentially in the second half of the book, and it's dealing with practical application. Practical application. First half of the book is informational in nature. Paul lays out a lot of, in Ephesians here anyways, a lot of positional truth. What is true of you and I as believers in Christ, what we have in terms of possessions and our position in Christ. And now, in the second half of the book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, there's a lot of practical application. And that's where we find our passages here tonight. And then specifically, in chapter 5, it's really dealing with your walk. Now, the word walk is found 8 different times in the whole book. 4 of those times occur in chapter 5. The first occurrence is actually in Ephesians 4 here, and we can read that just to, so we'll just kind of get a sense of things as we meander back towards our memory verse here. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." So there's an urging or a beseeching here to walk worthy. If we look at chapter 5 and verse, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us." We are to walk. We look back at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17. We'll read 17 through 20. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." So there's an emphasis here on walk. And what is walk? What does it mean to walk? Well, really, it's how you live your life, how you pass your time. What are you doing and how are you doing it? It's really all it means. How are you living? And as we inch closer back towards our verses here, in Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." So as we think about this here, we're urged to conduct ourselves in a way that would be worthy of the calling with which we've been called as children of God. We're not to walk as we once walked, like the rest of the Gentiles, in the futility or the good-for-nothing or useless notions of our mind. We're to walk in love, to conduct ourselves in the love of Christ, and we're to walk as children of light, not of darkness. And then finally we get to our verses again here, 15 and 16. "See then that you walk circumspectly." It's worth noting here this, "see then that you walk" is a present active indicative. This is an ongoing activity. It's volitional. It's up to you and I to decide. We can sit here and choose that we can walk circumspectly, not as wise, or not as fools, but as wise. We can either be the fool or we can be the wise. We have a choice in the matter. But we're urged here because it's an imperative. It says this is absolutely necessary of you and I as children of God that we walk circumspectly. So number two on the handout there, it's critical that you walk circumspectly. Now, who used circumspectly in a sentence today? Over the past week, month, year, you know, it's really not in common vernacular, I guess. But what is to walk circumspectly? What does it mean to be walking circumspect? It really means to be careful, to be accurate, or to be diligent at being attentive. Here, you know, you could say it's to walk around with your head on a swivel. If you've ever been in a tougher part of town, or perhaps if you're law enforcement, I'm sure you're in situations where you got your head on a swivel, or if you've served in the armed forces and been in situations there, head on a swivel. You're looking around, you're watchful. I'm not in law enforcement, and I haven't served in the armed forces, but I've been to some uglier towns, and I've been to some countries that have been a little tougher, and you do. Your head is on a swivel. It's not commonplace to, you know, be taken in a car and driven through a neighborhood that's on fire. And you feel out of place. And you're like, this isn't right. My head's on a swivel. You know, I look the foreigner. The locals obviously aren't happy about something. And there's hundreds of people that are burning stuff down. And I do not like this. My head's on a swivel. But that's how we're to think. Head on a swivel here. To be careful. To be diligent with attentiveness in our walk. Not as fools, but as wise. And the word fools there is really just unwise. There's various words for fools. This is to simply be not wise when it speaks of a fool here. But we're to be wise, to be circumspect, because the tendency can be, and you know, I was kind of had the privilege of teaching young people's last Friday, and to just talk about this, when as you go along through life, it's just really easy to kind of get accustomed to walking independent of the Lord. You might not look like, you know, your life's in shambles and you're actively rebelling and, you know, it's not boo on God and none of that. You're just independent of the Lord. You just get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you start the day, you go and you just do your thing without really a thought towards the things of Jesus Christ. Then you come to the end of the day. You hit the sack, you start up, and you do it all over again because you just get comfortable. One day is like the next. I had it yesterday. I'll have it again tomorrow. That is not a circumspect walk. That's not head on a swivel. That's just letting basically life wash over you and you just going through it of your own means and resources, which lends itself here, verse 16, to actually not redeeming the time. And the encouragement here is to redeem the time. "See then that you walk circumspectly, being attentive, being diligent in your attentiveness, not as a fool, but as a wise." Not being unwise here, second bullet point under number two on the handout, not unwise, but being wise by skillfully applying what you know. The Christian life is an active and an engaged life. It takes active engagement. It takes walking circumspectly. It takes being wise to apply what we know. And we've, like Mike even mentioned, we've been privileged to be taught the Word of God very well here. But to apply these truths by faith, because there's a lot of times where, you know, you just don't. You just go about your business without a thought of Jesus Christ or any of that. And what then by default happens is time is not redeemed. Has anybody sat somewhere or had to partake in something where they thought, this is the biggest waste of my time. This is tough. We have some reoccurring safety training that you have to partake in on an annual basis. It's the same topics every year, year after year after year. Nothing really changes, and you just have to sit put and make like you're paying attention all day long. You know, in the first couple of times, you're like, okay, you know, I'm, you know, learning something new. You're trying, you know, you try to make the most of it, but eventually you're sitting there going, good heavens, this is tough. This is just tough. And then they put it online, and it's even worse. But you know what? You do have the, you're sitting there, and it's like, you know what? And you ask yourself, it's like, what am I even doing here? Goodness, there's many other things that actually need some active attention today, and here I am. Like a potted plant listening to this. But the thing is God is not in the business of wasting time. And though we may find these things, you know, unengaging and not entertaining and maybe not in and of themselves of much practical value, God's not in the business of putting you somewhere where your time is going to be absolutely wasted. God values your time. God wants you to redeem the time. And the thing is when we're leaning on our own resources, we're walking independently from the Lord, you know, we by default then think only of ourselves. Like when I'm sitting here kind of having a pouty face in my 8 hours of safety training going, I wish I was somewhere else doing something else. It's because I want to do something. I want something my way. I want to use my time in a different way. And I'm really not thinking, you know, this is where the Lord's got me. And you know what? So be it. And I can give thanks in that. I use the example in young people's of doing chores at home. And my least favorite chore is folding clothes. I can't stand folding clothes. I do not like it. But you know what? You can redeem the time when you're folding clothes and whatever your least favorite chore is. And you know, we all have one. At least one. But you can redeem the time folding the clothes. There's many things to be thankful for. I'm thankful we have a washer and a dryer. Because by golly, you don't have to put up with that. And it's getting, you know, we're getting into the season where it's kind of hard to dry clothes outside on the line. There's much to be thankful for. You know, folding clothes is one of those nice things where it doesn't really take a lot of mental engagement. So you can, you know, it's one of those things in life you really can multitask while you're folding the clothes. There's time that can be redeemed there. Things that can be discussed with your kids. Things that can be prayed for. There's things of that nature. There's just so many times we get into stuff where we just kind of, you put on the pouty face because you don't really want to be doing it this way, this, you know, this thing right now. And you just kind of, you get stuck there. But there's time that can be redeemed. And the thing is that redeeming the time, a circumspect and a wise walk is manifest through redeeming the time. Redeem the time there is actually passive. Because it's God working in you and through you to have that time be redeemed. This isn't a command to go redeem the time. This is a command here to walk circumspectly, to actively participate in this, to be aware of what is going on around you based upon your position as a child of God, based upon your position in Christ and the riches you have in Him. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, as it's God who works in you and through you to have that time be redeemed. And the reason for this, the reason given here, number 4 on the handout, the reason a circumspect and a wise walk is critical is that the days are evil. Because the days are evil. That's kind of the end. I mean, that's just the thought. The days are evil. Redeem the time because the days are evil. And they are indeed. You know, evil here, there's all various words that can be used or translated back into English as evil. But this is just wicked and malicious. The days are wicked and malicious. And when used in reference to time, it commonly refers to You know, when you're saying that a time or a season is evil, it's really that the days are full of calamity, affliction, and sorrow. And this was certainly applicable to the early church, which faced much persecution, of which really don't know. But the sin-cursed world really hasn't changed in 2,000 years, and the days are still evil. Life is full of calamity and affliction and sorrow. And the idea is here is to really make the time count. Make it count. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't. God does, but we don't. You know, there's the, what is it? It's the Latin saying, was it carpe diem? Seize the day. And I think a few times I've seen it used in context, it's always, you know, seize the day and make the most of it for yourself is basically the idea and the term carpe diem. But as a believer in Christ and a child of God, or as Ephesians 5:8 said, a child of light, you know, we have the opportunity to buy back the time, to redeem this time for the honor and glory of our Savior who redeemed us. And what a wonderful privilege that is. And it's just been, it's been very helpful, again, just for me even to just ponder these things. As everybody has parts of the day that they go through where, you know, you'd rather not have it. And things seem like a waste of time. And you're wondering why you're bothering or why the Lord has you here. But it's just good to be reminded that, you know, again, God is not in the business of wasting your time. And that it is important, even especially in those times, to walk circumspectly. Not to be a fool and just let life wash over you, but to be wise and apply by faith what we know to see that time be redeemed for the honor and glory of our Savior. So with that, why don't we close with a quick word of prayer. Father, again, thank you that we do have the privilege, Father, as your children of light, Father, to live a life, Father, that can count in light of eternity, that can bring honor and glory to you. Father, you'd even just help us to be mindful of this as we go about our days, Father, to be walking circumspectly. Father, even just by faith, being wise and applying what we know to be true and even just enjoying the privilege, Father, of seeing you redeem the time in us and through us. Thank you that though the days are evil, Father, you are good and you do good, and that we can just have full confidence and know that in all these things, Father, you're working them together for good, and that your grace is sufficient every step of the way, and that would just be a great comfort, Father, and even just that in days that are evil, Father, that we'd be mindful that, you know, our hope is not in this world, but we do have a hope and inheritance that does not fade away, Father, where one day every tear is wiped away and all is made well, Father. We just thank you for that promise and that assurance and just what a privilege it is to be called your children. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.